So again, in full honesty and transparency, I introduced myself. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Daryl. I am the youth pastor, which means I get to be on this platform only a few times a year, which means I get really, really nervous. And so they say what you should do in public speaking is you should picture everybody naked, but this is a church, a Baptist church of all things. So we're not going to do that. But what I've been doing in trying to prepare for this morning is I've been trying to picture you all as my junior hires. So when I look out at Florence right now, I just see a young grade 7-year-old student right there. There we go. And that's going to help me with the public speaking nerves. So you'll have to forgive me. So what we're going to do to start things off, because it was kind of like junior high, we're going to do an icebreaker game. So I'm going to invite Ethan to come on up to the front. Ethan's going to be my guinea pig. He's seen this before, which is great. You guys haven't seen this before. Make sure that this fits. So what we're going to do is we're going to blind pour Ethan. Ethan's going to be blindfolded. Do you need a hand? I'm going to invite Pastor Steve to come on up. I'm going to invite Ross to also come on up. And Jesse to come on up. And Rhonda, you got it? Can you see? Ask how many fingers. Excellent. So I'm going to ask the people who I've asked to come forward and maybe just be right here facing Ethan. While we're doing what we're doing here and getting all set up, so my junior hires have low attention spans. So what I do is I provide sheets for them to doodle on. I feel like at least if they're doodling or doing something, they're paying somewhat attention. So there are pencil crayons and there are booklets here. If your child hasn't picked up a booklet yet or wants to pick up some crayons to color with, they can do that anytime. Pick it up at the front. Now, what's going to happen is Ethan. What's going to happen is I'm going to give a phrase to the people who are standing in front of Ethan, and Ethan's going to have to try and figure out, based on his knowledge of the person, whose particular voice it is. And if he can guess right, Ethan wins chocolate. If he can't guess it right, he doesn't win chocolate. So there's some weight to this thing. Okay, the line that you're going to say is classic. So you can throw your spin on it, but you got to have your natural voice. You can't do Donald Duck. You can't do, whatever. But you can put your spin on it. It's simply this. These pretzels are making me thirsty. These pretzels are making me thirsty. All right, so we're going to go through it once, and then so you hear them all, and then we're going to go individually and see if you can figure out whose voice is here. Okay? Here we go. Okay, I hope you got that, Ethan. We're going to try one more, and then at each one, you're going to try and guess whose it is, okay? Here we go. First, who is it? Oh, you got one. You win a chocolate. Give him a hand. Give him a hand all the way through, okay? Next. Who is it? Yes! Good job. Next. Yes! 3 for 3. Okay, last one. All right, last one. Pastor Steve, there you go. You got all of them. Way to go. You win a round of chocolate. Thank you very much, Ethan. Excellent. When I spoke at the high school last week, and that's how Ethan saw it, and we had a student get blindfolded, and the first guest was one of the teachers, and a female teacher. And the first thing that he said out of his mouth was, "What?" Oh, that was perfect. Hey, I want to take a second before I get any further to welcome you again. If you're first time here, or if you're a first time to church, we so thank you for being a part of this, and it's such a great week for you to be here, because we're talking about the gospel. Well, we've been in a series talking about the gospel, what it is, and why it's important, and this morning we're going to talk specifically about why it's important to you, families, and students, and kids. Why is the gospel important to you? The gospel is good news, and last week we were talking about the fact that the good news actually started way back in the book of Genesis, which was so awesome that we did the books of the Bible all the way through. In the beginning, there was the chaos, and out of chaos, the gospel and good news was that there would be a hope that would come out of the chaos. And I got to admit that now, as a first-time parent, I'm learning to understand that family life is all about chaos. In fact, I got a phone call just before the service from Lisa saying she had been up for 2 hours and she had only been running all the way since. So family life is chaos, and what I want to offer you this morning is one little piece of hope, one little nugget that you can hold on to that can help direct and anchor you in the midst of the chaos. Same with you students as well. There's lots of things that are happening in your world, both with school and all the pressures and all that kind of stuff, that I want to offer you something that you can hold on to as hope as well. So here's what we're going to do. In 1 minute, I want you to turn your attention to the question that's on the screen. I want you to think in your brain who it is that you know really well, like really, really well. Like if you saw them walking down in the mall, you would recognize them from a mile away. Or without call display, without looking at your phone call display, you picked it up and you heard their voice on the other end of the line. You knew exactly who they were. Which, by the way, aside, it floors me every time my mom calls me. She says, "Hi, Daryl, it's Mom." It's like, I'm 40 years old. I know who this is already. You don't have to say it. But take a moment, think about somebody that you know really well, or maybe somebody who knows you really, really well. And what I want you to do is, in 1 minute, I want you to turn to somebody, maybe it's in your family group, maybe it's in the person beside you. What I want you to do is talk to them, tell them about who it is that you know really well or knows you really well, and how that happened. Take 1 minute as that happens. Go. All right. Excellent. Well, it looks like you guys are all really popular. You know a lot of people, or a lot of people know you. That's fantastic. Here, I'm going to bet that I know something that's in common with everybody that knows you really well or that you know really well, and I bet you that it's this. I bet you that you didn't know that person since only last week. Raise your hand if you know somebody really, really well that you only met last week. Yes, that's right. All right. Here's the thing, is that the people that you and I know really, really well, or the people that know us really, really well, have developed that relationship over time. Over time. Over time, you get to know things about the other person that you wouldn't have known had you known them in the 1 week. In 1 week, you probably know facts about them, right? Facts. You probably don't know who's their crush. You probably don't know their favorite likes or dislikes. In fact, the best people to give you a gift are the people who know you the best. Because the people who don't know you well give you socks and underwear. Those are the things that you need. The people who give you great gifts are the ones who know what you want, right? The people who know you really, really well can finish your sandwiches. Sentences. Well, that was a frozen thing. The people who know you really, really well are the people who will influence your musical styles. Ever since high school, my musical style has been influenced by my best friend ever. All the music I was talking to the other day, I heard The Doors, and I was thinking, The Doors, that's another band that I learned from my best friend in high school. Best friends, or the people who know us really well, influence the way we dress. Since I've been here, Lisa has helped change my wardrobe. For the better, you can decide. For the worse, don't tell me. The people who know us really, really well have this in common, is that we spend time with them, and over time, our value of them grows. Our appreciation of them grows. So if you're following along in your sheet, we've got an equation here. You can throw that on the screen. Equation, math time. Love over time equals value. Love over time equals value. Here's the thing that I want to point out about the gospel. The gospel is, at the heart of the gospel is a relationship. At the heart of the gospel is a relationship. Through this whole time that we've been talking about the gospel in our church, I've been thinking it over and over and over again about knowing the facts. Knowing the facts can be easy, but knowing who it is all about is the most important thing. And so we're going to spend some time focusing in on gospel as relationship. And where I get this from is this beautiful, beautiful verse in one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture, where Jesus is spending a little bit of time at the end of his life with his disciples. And he has this to say. Throw that up on the screen. Next slide. Why don't we read this all together? Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The most important word, besides God and Jesus, in that is know. The gospel is all about a relationship. It's not so much about what you know, it's about who you know. And you see this all throughout the New Testament as Jesus calls people not to an ideology, not to a theology, not to a doctrine, not to a behavioral way of life, but he calls them to himself. Next screen. When he meets the disciples at the nets, his invitation is to come follow me. When the little kids come up and he's seated at the center, he asks that the children be brought to him. This relationship, this gospel is all about getting to know Jesus. But here's the problem. Here's the problem that I see. The problem that I see is that we have what I've heard called a Jesus deficit disorder. Jesus deficit disorder, and it's this. I love the way that these two authors say that. I've been reading this book, and it's been lighting me up. Listen to this. Christians have made the gospel about so many things other than Christ. But Jesus Christ is the gravitational pull that brings everything together and gives it meaning. Without him, all things lose their value. They are but detached pieces of floating around in space, and that includes your life. It is all too possible to emphasize a spiritual truth, value, virtue, or gift, yet miss Christ, who is himself the embodiment and incarnation of all these things. Seek Christ, embrace Christ, know Christ, and you will have touched him who is life, and in him resides all truth, values, virtues, and gifts in living color. Beauty has its meaning in the beauty of Christ. Only in him do we find all that makes us lovely and lovable. Here's the thing. Here's the thing that's worrying me. It's been something that's been weighing on my heart in my own walk and in my own life. especially because I'm part of a profession, I'm part of a calling that's all about knowing about Jesus or knowing all about faith. And I can get stuck in this place where I'm making faith in the gospel all about a whole bunch of other things, but missing the point. And I don't want to miss the point, and I don't want you to miss the point either. And the point is that we know Jesus. That we know Jesus. I was thinking about an exercise in missing the point, and I was trying to think of a couple things, and one of the things was I was remembering this time when I was working for a third-party verification, or a third-party to Rogers Communication. It was in a call center. And I remember this one time that I saw this really killer deal for cell phones. Like, I just thought this was an amazing deal for cell phones. And I saw it come across my desk, and I thought, whoa, this is like insider information. So I'm going to take this. Here's my idea. Genius. I'm going to take this idea, and I'm going to go home, and then I'm going to call my phone company, and I'm going to say, could you put me through to like management? Could you put me through to quality care? Could you put me through to somebody I can talk to change my plan? Because I hear that the competition has this amazing plan that I really, really want. Can you do that? And they said, sure. So they put me on hold. They put me to somebody to I could talk to in order to change my plan. And they said, hi, how can you help me? And I said, I want to change my plan. Can you help me change my plan? There's this amazing plan. And they said, can you tell me about it? I said, this is the plan. And they said, can you tell me who offers it? I said, Rogers. And they said, well, that's great. You can have that plan. What? And I thought I'd have to bargain. I thought I'd have to throw my flag up and say, I'm leaving you. And I said, and I actually did they say that. I said, I'm going to leave you. And they said, go for it. I said, why? And they said, well, we're Fido. We're Rogers. We're Fido. You can leave us, no problem. And I was like, but you're missing the point. The point is I want to get something. And it didn't work out. I don't want to go through my experience in my faith missing the point. And I don't want you to go through missing the point either. And where it's putting fire under my bones is in Matthew. So if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This is getting to the very end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he's nearing the end, and he gives these amazing warnings that has shaken me. And we're in chapter 7, verse 21. And it says this. It says that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter that kingdom of heaven. That means that there is going to be some people who get it. And then there's going to be some people who miss the point. And what it is all about, he fleshes out in the next few verses. He says this in verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? In your name drive out demons? In your name perform many miracles? See, the thing is that these people were doing wanting to do really great things. They wanted to do these awesome things for Jesus, but they missed that the thing about it is not so much about what we do, it's about who we know. And Jesus says this following. This is the determining factor. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. When I read that, it was kind of like mic drop, end scene, drama. Not everyone will choose, and the people who go forward are the people who know Jesus. The people who know Jesus. See, it's not enough to know facts. It's not enough to be amazed. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the people who heard Jesus' teaching, whether they were disciples or whether they were the crowd. So if you're a Christian, Christians had this, or people of the religious day had this impression, and the people who weren't part of the religious day had this opinion, that they were amazed by Jesus. They were amazed. Just like when I'm scrolling through my news feed I can be amazed at this story. Next. Amazed at that story. Next. Amazed. Next. No. Jesus, the reaction that Jesus wants is not amazement, but acceptance. So here, last couple things here. The most important thing that I want to do in my student ministry, in my own life, and in my encouragement to you as parents, and especially as students, is build a relationship with Jesus Christ. Build a relationship with Jesus. What's that going to take? That's going to take spending some time with Jesus. In fact, at the bottom of that sheet, I've got three little things to know Jesus. Know Jesus every day. Know Jesus every way. Know Jesus anyways. Know Jesus first and foremost. I love these the reactions of Jesus' disciples and followers in building a relationship with Christ, Jesus as being the central most important thing in their lives. Paul, the Apostle Paul, in one of the books that he wrote in Philippians chapter 3, he writes this. But whatever were gains to me, I know, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. And then Peter, when asked by Jesus why Peter was still hanging around, he had this to say: where else are we going to go? Who else has the words of eternal life? We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy God, the Holy One of God. And then later on, Jesus poignantly even more asks the question of Peter, these questions: do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? So here's two practical things that I want you to focus on in building your relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can do this as a student, you can do this as a kid, you can do this as a parent. These two things. One, I want you to focus on knowing Jesus. Before we get to where Jesus was just talking about in making that decision in chapter 7, verse 23, he mentions about the narrow gate and the wide gate. We can make Jesus attractable to our kids. We can make Jesus attractable to our peers. Jesus is the point of entry into a growing faith in Jesus Christ. That's our goal as a youth ministry, to lead families and students into growing faith in Jesus Christ. And to do that, you got to start. You got to start. And so making that a very attractable thing. And one of those ways that we're doing that is we're doing Alpha starting next week. We're taking junior high students through 10 weeks of getting to know who Jesus is. And in week 4, there's going to be an ask to make a decision for Jesus Christ. So you can be praying for those students, if you know students who might want to be able to come grade 5 to grade 8, so that they can make a faith decision in Jesus Christ. But if you're a parent and you've never walked your student or your child through accepting Jesus Christ in your heart, maybe think about starting that conversation. Think about starting their growing faith in Jesus Christ. And secondly, love Jesus. I love this picture that we had in the Bible verse about the pearl of great price, or the treasure in the field. God wants to change not just what we do, but he wants to change what we want to do. That happens through prayer and trust. So as we pray, as we grow, that step by step by step, we grow in that faith, and we actually change our desires. We can be transformed. So, bottom line, Jesus knows best, so know Jesus. Somebody said this awesome line, I love it. Knowing Jesus, or having faith, makes you better at life and makes life better. And I 100% believe that. And I want that for my students, and I want that for you. As we go, I've got a question for you. And you can take 1 or 2 minutes and look at this question and answer it for yourself or maybe in your family group. And the question is this: what's one thing you can do this week to build your relationship with Jesus? What's one thing? Take 1 minute, maybe talk it out amongst your family group, but what's one thing that you can do this week to help build your relationship with Jesus Christ? Knowing Jesus, loving Jesus, what's one thing that you can do? And we'll end in a moment.